Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Gracious God, please grant that your word may be alive in our hearts today. May we desire what you promise. May you transform our hearts as we read or listen. Amen. Psalm 47 is one of those psalms that the church has gone to throughout the centuries at Ascension time. It's not hard to see why, is it? As you give it a look through, this is a song, it's a hymn of joy, it's praise for a king. It's praise for a king who has ascended. Verse 5, God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The God who reigns over all the earth. It's a call to join the song. Five times it tells us, sing praises, sing praises. We're encouraged to join in. Jesus' ascension is a symbol given to us of an elevation of Christ into the throne room after he died and was resurrected 40 days later. That's why we have ascension on a Thursday, because Easter Sunday is always on a Sunday, and so 40 days later will always be on a Thursday. Jesus ascended up into heaven, and as Jesus went up out of sight, he leapfrogged over Pilate, he leapfrogged over Herod, over Caesar, over all the emperors and rulers of the world, past, present, and future, up to God's right hand. The ascension is the crowning climax of Jesus' work. The very first people praying and singing this psalm did so many centuries before Jesus came to earth. As we read it now, thinking about the first people who'd have said it, we see that even in that time, it clearly comes out of a similarly joyful situation. It's most likely referring to the return of the Ark of the Covenant, and we read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, as the Ark of the Covenant finally returns to Jerusalem. With the new King David, thousands of people dancing, rejoicing, while David and all Israel were, it says, bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. In verse 5, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. So their understanding, as they read, of verse 5, God has ascended, might well have been thinking about the Ark coming up to Jerusalem. And this was for them a moment of national joy. For a brief time, little Israel had subdued local nations under their feet. The Ark had finally found its home. God's people were finally able to have their housewarming in the promised land. So the psalm makes some quite audacious claims when you start to think about it. The Israelites claimed that they held the dwelling place of the King of the entire universe in their city. With straight faces, they said that Mount Zion, a smallish hill, was the dwelling place of the King of the whole universe. They claimed that the golden box they carried with them was the throne of the sovereign Creator. I'd like to notice a peculiarity about this psalm. It's a psalm which celebrates Israel's victory, of kings even underfoot. But it's a psalm for all nations, if you look at verse 1 with me, the initial invitation, clap your hands, all you nations. This psalm is an invitation to everybody. And so this psalm straddles different times, different kingdoms. And what this psalm and what this and the kingdom that was first sung about have in common is that they both find their home in Jesus. Psalm 47, as it were, takes us to the deep past, the ancient past of Israel, takes us to Christ's ascension and into the future as well. And Psalm 47 invites the whole world to join in the song to Jesus. And it tells us that we praise the ascended King because he loves his church, and through it he will gather the whole world. Let's look in a bit more detail at how it does that. Long live our King. Verses 2 to 5. Acclaim the ascended Christ because he loves his church. He's on our side. To paraphrase Ephesians 1, chapter 11, we have been chosen according to his plan that we might be for the praise of his glory. Jesus is moving history in such a way that his church will find the inheritance he has won for us. All the promises of God will be fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth. We tend to picture ancient Israel as a pretty important place, but the reality is that by all worldly appearances, it was a pretty insignificant, small place. It was a footnote. The Lord Almighty chose them to give his inheritance, to be the ones he loved, to be his plan for the world. There wasn't anything about them per se that made God choose them. Deuteronomy 7:7-8 tells us, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest, but it was because the Lord loved you. And we see this exactly played out in the life of the church today. We're not called, chosen to be Christians for our gifts, our stature, our achievements, as if God needs us or owes us anything. We're called to be Christians simply because we're called to be Christians. He loves us because he loves us. It's there in verse 4, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. As much as ancient Israel had the audacity to claim that not only that God was with them and he loved them, but that they were God's plan for the world, so can we, in all of our inglorious, modest messiness, in all of our non-essential status that we currently have in 2020, we can know that we, as the Church of Christ, are called by him, loved by him, and are God's plan A for the world. Do you know this? Do you know how much you are loved? Do you know for a fact that God specifically loves you, calls you by name, and treasures you? If you're a Christian, you can know that today. If you're not a Christian, if you don't know deep in your bones that you are loved by God through Jesus, then would you like to know that? Would you like to find out more? Would you like to see what the next step is? Please do come and ask me about that. The psalm also tells us that God is king for everyone as well. Verses 2 to 5 tell us that we acclaim Christ because he loves his church. Verses 6 to 9 show that we acclaim Christ because he is king of the whole world. And we'd love to see, wouldn't we, the whole world together in peace and harmony. It almost feels like a cliche or naive to talk about it. We see a world as fractured as ours is, with the divisions between nations, politics, religions. Can we seriously talk of the whole world coming together? Psalm 47 does so with a straight face. It tells us that Jesus is the King of all the earth, that's verse 7. It tells us that he reigns over all the nations, verse 8. Representatives of all nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. The way that this happens is not through diplomacy, it's not through military might, it's not through giving World Cups and Olympic Games to countries with dodgy human rights records in the hope that football or Olympics might make everybody be friends. It's through the Church of Jesus, fulfilling the promise that God made Abraham, Genesis 12, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And we see this made real in Jesus, and that through him, as one writer puts it, God himself will cause the beams of his grace to shine into distant lands, that kings and nations may be united into fellowship with the children of Abraham. And we see a wonderful taster of this already, I think, when we gather together at church. We look around our own congregation here in Sutton. We look across the diocese, across the city, across the world. The Church of Christ truly is an international church. It's been one of its features right from the very beginning that it has never been just for one kind of people group or ethnicity or language or culture. And that really is something to celebrate. But we look at our own church, we know we're not there yet. There are nations represented in the streets locally around our church who are not part of our congregation. I don't know if you have any thoughts on how we might reach out to the various international people groups who live around here. I'd be very, very interested indeed to hear from you. And so as we read Psalm 47, we acclaim the ascended Christ, not just because he loves the church, but because through the church he will gather the world to himself in fullness of time. I just want to notice with you as we close an irony here. And that is simply that as we celebrate the ascension, as we call the world to celebrate that Christ is King, we recognize that Jesus' ascension was seen by a small handful of people. Most people missed it. It was essentially a hidden act. You could have lived on or near the Mount of Olives, even, where it happened, and missed it. Jesus didn't dazzle the world with power as the world understands it. Time and time again, as we see the way Jesus is with us and the way he is with the world, what was unnoticeable or even shameful or even odious to the critics of Christ was most glorious in the eyes of his followers. They had learned that for Jesus, suffering and service was the means and the way of glory. Even in the glorious symbolism of the ascension, Christ remains the servant king. Even as he takes his space and remains in it today at the right hand of God in the control room of the whole universe, Jesus ministers to us mostly in ways that are quiet, ordinary, and unseen. This psalm gives us the choice. Will we join in the applause, or will we stay in silent, sulking rebellion? Will we give Christ the praise and the honour that is due to him? And will we make known to the world how brilliant his purpose is? So we pray, gracious Lord, please grow in our hearts a confidence in your Son Jesus' eternal and supreme kingship. Please give us the eyes to see your unending faithfulness, and the trust that you will come good on every single one of your promises to us. Help us to proclaim and invite the whole world to join the Song of Joy. Amen.